Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, the text for meditation this day is the gospel lesson for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost from Matthew 22. You have that text before you, and I'll reference it many times in our meditation. We begin in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, my friends, in this gospel lesson today, the Pharisees were up to no good when they laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. You see, they were irritated at Jesus' words. They chafed under his call for repentance. They were angry of his condemnation when they refused to believe everything he said. But you know what? There's actually more than one way to commit this kind of wickedness. Many Christians fall prey to what is popularly called the prosperity gospel. They believe wrongly because they are now co-heirs with Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of the heavenly King. God wants them to be wealthy in this life. About such people, St. James says, "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motive, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure." You adulterous people. People try to trap God in his words when they reason to themselves, "Well, God accepts all people. Therefore, it doesn't matter how I live, whether I concern myself with the commandments or hearing his word. I'm just going to do what I please, no matter what his word says." It's to those kind of people that Jesus says, "Depart from me, you cursed ones." But my friends, just as there are sinful ways of trying to trap God in his word, evidenced by the work of the Pharisees today in this gospel, you may not believe this, but there are also good and pious ways, God-pleasing ways, of trapping him in his words. The very thing that angers God with those who hate him doing it is the same thing he loves to have you do. He wants you to trap him in his words. Go with me to Matthew 15 for a minute and consider the case of the Canaanite woman whose daughter was demon-possessed. When she begged Jesus to heal her daughter, he acted in a seemingly cold and distant manner. He didn't answer a single word, even though she persistently begged and cried out to him. When he did respond, his words struck the woman almost like a slap on the face. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." But that woman trapped Jesus in his words in a way that he likes to be trapped. You see, she'd heard the Lord's word. She knew that the God of Israel was the Savior of the world. And so she sprang his own words upon him. "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." By using those words, the Lord was taken captive and held to his promise. The woman trapped Jesus in his words with the blessed result that the Lord said to her, "Woman, great is your faith. Your request is granted." My friends, it's the same with you. Jesus made the same promise to you that he did to that Canaanite woman. When you suffer loneliness, doubt, sorrow, trap Jesus in his words. Yes, you heard me right. I said trap Jesus in his words. Insist to him, "Lord, you promised me that you would never leave me nor forsake me. You swore to me on the day of my baptism that you made me your beloved child. Be with me in this hour of darkness according to your word and promise. Do for me that which you promised. Comfort me, sustain me, guard me, preserve the gift of life that you gave to me." When you feel yourself tempted and overcome, Trap Jesus in his words. Hold his words before him, persistently crying out to him, just like that Canaanite woman did. Lord, you've made yourself my shepherd and keeper. Guard me against the temptations that are assailing me. Strengthen me against the deceptive voices that tempt me and taunt me. Make my heart a stone against such things. You call yourself my refuge and strength, my ever-present trouble, your help in trouble. Now, my friends, when you doubt whether such a sinner as you can actually be forgiven by God, again, trap Jesus in his words. Point to your baptism. Point to Holy Communion. Point to the word that's been preached to you. Grasp that forgiveness that Jesus gave you by his suffering and his death. Make good and frequent use of all those things, baptism, communion, and the word. Continue to remind God that once he speaks his promises, his faithfulness prevents him from ever retracting those words. In fact, my friends, when your last hour comes, and when doubt of your heavenly Father heavenly future begins to rise in your throat, trap Jesus in his words. Lord, I don't belong to myself. I don't belong to sin, to death, or to the devil. I belong to you. You purchased me with your blood. You made me your own possession. You spoke to me. Fulfill everything that you said you would do. You see, my friends, with that kind of entrapment, Jesus is so pleased. Dr. Martin Luther once said, "In this manner, God is conquered with faith that does not leave off, that is not wearied, and doesn't cease, but faith that presses on and urges all the more fervently." You see, my friends, by that kind of faith, your Lord is taken captive and conquered and pressed into the correct answer. And it will be granted to you. The Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his word. You know, there's another good thing you can learn from this gospel lesson today, from this wicked example of the Pharisees. The Pharisees not only wanted to trap Jesus in his words, but they gathered together and took counsel with one another how they best might trap him. My friends, it's no different with you. That's how the church on earth has to live. That's how all the members of the church must live. You must resolve together, deliberate together, consider together how you can piously and faithfully trap God in his words. You know, Luther referred to something in the Small Called Articles. He called it the consolation of the brethren. The scriptures call upon you to encourage one another and to build one another up in 1 Thessalonians, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, as the writer of the Hebrews says, to comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have felt. My friends, take counsel together as to how you may trap God in his words. Don't do this by telling your neighbor to dig deeper or pull himself up by his bootstraps. Don't do this by patting him on the head and telling him, "You're okay, and I'm okay." Don't do this by ignoring your neighbor and his need, or by hiding your need from your neighbor. Do this by taking your neighbor's face and sticking it into the Word of God. Do this by insisting to each other that God can be trusted. Do this by requiring one another to trap Jesus in his words. You see, after a long day of work, a father wants very much to lean back into his chair and put his feet up for a while. His child may come to him and say, "Daddy, will you play ball with me?" The father will wave the child off, telling him to wait for another time. But the child will insist, "Daddy, you promised." And on the value of that promise that he made to his child, the father will raise himself to his feet take up his ball glove and go outside and play ball. Your Father in heaven is by no means self-centered or weary, as human fathers and mothers can be. How much more will he allow himself to be held to his promises for your sake and because he loves you? See, it's a good thing when by your faith you trap Jesus in his words. It's good because Christ is risen.